And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd still go. So it opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
Lads, I'm often very hard on hurling snobs, but I was down, like I said last year on the podcast, I was down in Thurles, and there was a Gaelic football match on in the pub down in Thurles, and I was trying to watch it. I think it was Mayo and Sligo, and the whole pub had their backs to the TV, and I was going, this is outrageous, these hurling snobs, they're not GAA men. Well, I had the opposite experience yesterday, because I was up in Castlebar for the Connacht match between Mayo and Galway, and Dublin Kilkenny was on the television. I was in the Castlebar clubhouse, and it was on three televisions, and there was groups of Mayo fans just sitting around me, just actually looking towards me as I'm looking at them. So there's football snobs out there as well, you'd be glad to hear, Les. This works both ways.
They just loved you, Willie, that's all.
So I couldn't believe it, but like, what a game. Like, I didn't hear commentary. You always like to be able to hear. I don't understand people. Even if I hate the commentary team, I still won't turn down the volume, because I want to hear the crowd as they react to get into it. This was an absolute classic of a game. Dublin, it's not often, Mick, that I feel heartbroken for Dublin. You can trust me on that. But I honestly, as a neutral, felt heartbroken. Yeah. Kilkenny didn't deserve to win that, JJ. I don't care what anybody says. But then, as Brian Cody said in the interview, the only result that is important is the result at the final whistle. And look, it's probably right then. So all the emotions should be taken out of it.
Oh, it was absolutely sick, Ollie, watching it. Like, everything that Dublin, the whole game plan worked out, like, and they still lost the game. Like,
yeah.
I had to watch it again when I went home, and just there was no standout performance from Kilkenny. Like, no. I couldn't even pick one fella that said, oh, he won it for them. And like, they lorded the ball in the air, and everything worked out, and their physicality was immense, their work rate was immense. They just, I don't even figure out how they lost the game yet. Like, I had to look at it twice when I went home. Yeah. And I just, Kilkenny just eked it out, and I think Dublin just withdrew a little bit and wanted to defend that lead. And I think that's just the mentality that, oh, we have 5 points up, there's 10 minutes to go, let's not lose this. And if they had to keep going the way they were going, there was no way they were going to lose it, you know. So.
Yeah, maybe not. I'd say, like, Brian Cody was saying in the dressing room, it was almost like they'd lost. It was almost like the players hadn't even refocused their minds to having had won the game, JJ. Like, I mean, which must be a really weird one.
Yeah, well, when you're in the dressing room, you know yourself, you didn't play well. You're very, very disappointed.
They were all down in the dressing room.
They must have been. It had to be, sure. They didn't perform. But then again, Dublin didn't let them perform either, you know. And you're wondering what Dublin have been doing from the league up to now. We know exactly what they've been doing. We're working on a game plan that Colin Keane centre forward, absolutely brilliant. Liam Rush is absolutely brilliant full forward as well, and they were playing a sweeper, but it didn't look like they had a sweeper because Liam Rush was winning primary possession when the ball went up there as well, so the ball was sticking there as well, and a couple of fast kind of corner forwards were working off of Liam Rush there as well, so what they were doing was unbelievable, and it's after working down to a tee there as well. So hats off to Pat Gilroy, got his game plan 100% right.
Yeah, well, a couple of talking points I want to talk about before we get into all the tactics, because the Dublin game plan was very interesting. Young Smith was fouled on the way out. Right, is that fair to say?
No,
that's
not
fouled,
fair to say.
JJ, come on now.
He tripped over himself.
This, and what's the most heartbreaking thing about Young Smith, I'll call him Young Smith because he is young, but he won such a great ball. Like, that was an inspirational catch to win it, and he's running out at full pace and he's pushed in the back. Now, I know there's an argument, JJ, and the argument would be, well, there's loads of fouls throughout the game that aren't called, and that's true in hurling, because sometimes you wonder, when is a ref...
It's hard, right? Very, very hard.
But because that was at such a crucial stage of the game, you know, where Dublin were 1 point up and this was an injury time, that was a huge call at that stage. Is that fair to say?
It's fair to say, but referee's defence, like, again, you didn't get too many goal chances, and from that situation, you wouldn't have seen a goal chance actually transpire. Look, it did, but it could wasn't 20 yards out from the goal, it was 30 or 40 yards out, and Lewis Scanlon got it, and he actually could have ran with it, but he turned inside and gave it into Liam Blanchfield and he went straight through. But yeah, it was a difficult one to take for a corner back. Winning a great ball like that, you usually will get the free. Nine times you catch the ball
after winning the good one, you always
get it now, to be fair, you know. So look, he'd feel hard done by himself, but he'd done the right thing if he was fouled. And look, next time the game, if he's in that situation again, maybe go out to the side of a small bit, don't go towards the player with the tackle. He learned from that as well, young player as well, but he done 90% of it right. It's just the 10% that got him caught.
Can I just say to anyone listening, JJ has a smile on his face while he's saying this. It probably was a free, but a big smile on his face.
First things first, 100% of pushing the back. I agree, he should have maybe went out to the sideline a bit more. He's a bit naive in the way he came out. No,
that, take a sidestep away.
That's absolutely harsh on him. That's been very, very harsh on him, though.
He played really well. Yeah. It was definitely a free, but at the same time, I look back and Rushy probably took about 15 steps going through for the goal in the first half, so they sort of counteracted. I know it definitely was a free, but Rushy did take a few steps going in for the first goal, so they have their way of balancing out. But
It was like, the one thing you'd say about Blanchfield is that he was ruthless. Like, he was tripped up there.
Oh, yeah,
like,
Paddy got back to him.
Paddy got back to him, right? Yeah. And he, like, that was completely out of order what he did, but you could see the desperation, and I'd say he was just fuming with the referee as well. He'd no hurl, so he just tried to soccer style trip him up. Yeah. But you look at Blanchfield, right? There was a good bit of contact on Blanchfield there. It actually disrupted his momentum.
Yeah. Go again.
And that's a free over the bar draw, but Blanchfield was like, I'm not going down here. That's too easy. And the goal wasn't fully on then, because Alan Nolan came out and then he got it over him. But for Blanchfield to continue on there, JJ, like, I mean, just shows the mentality of Kilkenny. Like, he had with maybe 60% chance of a goal there, but a definite 100% free.
But 100% chance of a point before he could have took it very easy. Took the easy option, take the point, come back out and we'll go again. But he's seen an opportunity. That's natural forwards as well. We'll go for that. Especially goal scoring forwards as well. He plays in around the corner and full forward in with his club there as well. So, yeah, he's seen the opportunity, and the easy thing to do would have been take the point or else go down for the free. But he took the hard knocks and he got the benefits in the end of it now. He went straight through and he took the goal very well, because if he had a swung, he would have been hooked, or Alan Nolan would have been out on top of him, so he batted into the goal. He knew exactly what he was doing, in fairness to him, so he had hats off to him.
He took a kick from Smith and a belt from Al then. He got a few running in, but he took it great, like, you know, good finish.
But is he carrying a bit of weight, Blanchfield? No, I thought he wasn't moving that freely, but maybe
he's
a big
arse.
He has a big arse, doesn't he?
Do you need a big arse though?
But they benefit you, weren't we saying?
The big arse, small arse, he would have fell over then, wouldn't he?
He taught me in winter hurling for the Rooks, you need a big arse on you to be able to stick it out there and get them away from you. You won't often see there. That's like the Offaly players, was it Gerlach Nance's, with they all going around with arses on them in the championship. In the first half, lads, we saw one of the great GAA traditions, and Brian Cody has won I don't know how many All-Irelands, obviously the greatest hurling manager the game has ever seen. But we saw one of the greatest traditions that will never probably leave the GAA, is Dublin being beaten all over the field, being dominated in the middle third, and Billy Sheehan gets taken off.
On the floor against the curly finger, isn't he?
Poor Billy Sheehan, who's been starved of possession. And been the middle third is where you're losing the game, and Billy, come on. Now, I missed some of the first half, so I don't know how badly Billy was going. Like, I mean, you were going to have Colin Fennelly on at some stage. Yeah. Like, it must be hard, actually, for Sheehan, and seeing Colin Fennelly on the sideline going one mess
he's
up
only
here.
Waiting exactly. Just before he was taken off, a low ball went in and he took it brilliantly, like, he actually straight into his hand, but he got bottled up out physicality, and then the ball was taken off and was cleared. I think that was just a sign for Cody saying Fennelly are on. He was just waiting to bring him on. That's at some stage, and I felt sorry for him, because he took the ball brilliantly, just didn't get the score, you know. So, and then Fennelly came on and got three great points. He wasn't going to be pushed around the size of him. So.
No, he's brilliant. And, like, I mean, JJ, you won't have much experience of this, but it's almost like poor Billy Sheehan, the psychology of, like, I mean, I've been on a pitch, and when your confidence isn't that high and you know the manager doesn't fancy you that well, you lose a ball, and instead of just concentrating on the game, you glance to the sideline, see is anyone warming up. Like, I mean, it's a horrible, it's the worst feeling in the world ever. And then you lose another one, and then he starts warming up, and you're, well, I know I'm gone now. And this is all you're thinking about.
Absolutely.
You're just watching the lad warming up. And then I'd even glance over, and you see the selectors talking. Do you think they're looking over? Like, this is all going through your head. Again, Michael, JJ's like, is that what happened?
I started off corner forward, and I'd never played corner forward in my life until Dublin, and you're 18, you're thrown in corner forward, just obviously it's the first position your foot in. I was anyway, and I just found it so strange. Like, if the ball wasn't coming in, as you said, for 20 minutes, you haven't done anything wrong, but the ball just isn't coming in, and then you might miss one ball, the only ball that comes to you. The same thing, you're thinking to yourself, oh, that's it now, it's game over. Like, and I suppose 5 or 6 years down the line, you know, you can miss 2 or 3 and you're safe. Just you have to build up that, I suppose, with the years. And
yeah, that's the thing of desperation when the team's losing a lot in the middle third, that the one you do get then, you're so desperate to do something because you haven't done it in so long, you're actually taking an option that you know is not the right one. And you're well aware, I shouldn't shoot now, but you're like, I haven't shot, I haven't even had a shot yet. And you're there, it might go over, but you're like, there's a good chance it won't, and then it doesn't. And then you're under even more pressure.
They have to go over, don't they?
Then you have JJ saying you're under pressure now. If you want to do a little bit of trash talk,
you're in his ear then.
You're right in his ear now. You haven't touched it, and now you have a bad wide.
It's funny the way the corner forward doesn't touch one ball, and he had a terrible game. The corner back doesn't touch the ball either, but he had a brilliant game. You know what I mean? It's funny the way it works.
Sure, some like full backline players have admitted they haven't kicked the ball in a whole game in football. Like, I mean, I'm sure hurling is getting like that as well, where you're just winning it and maybe laying it off. And somebody else giving a better ball. Like, it's weird how it's gone. I want to talk about Fergal Whiteley's goal, lads, and how difficult the skill that is, because it looked just explosive. And I know the traditionalists love ground hurling, and like, this was just ground hurling at its very finest.
Yeah, he came onto it at pace as well. Because Dalo said if it was 30 yards out, he probably would have got it. Like, he couldn't have struck it better. But the only thing is, he'd hit 20 then. The rest of them would fumble along the ground. Yeah. And the one would go in, but it was a great skill. Like, he took it brilliantly.
How hard is it to get a clean connection on
those? Just your sweet spot. Do you know what I mean? You're taking a shot in golf, you know, when you hit it perfectly. He knew, I'd say, he didn't even have to look at the ball where it was going. It was going in the top corner, and that was it. Like, you know, but he came on to it, took a chance. And a lot of people, 9 times in, would have rose the ball and could have been bottled up. But he seen the opportunity and took it. Again, you're talking with National Forward, you're talking with Liam Blanchfield, I mean, National Forward, he's seen a goal scoring opportunity, he took it. But it's exactly the same, he just seen the opportunity. No point before the ball was in the goal, before anyone even knew where it was, you know. So why would you raise it and then have the risk of being took off you or being hooked or something like that, or giving the defenders a chance? When they fly like that, it could go anywhere, you know. What I mean? But he's made it absolutely perfect and straight in half corner.
Ground hurling is dying.
That's what I was going to say.
I'd go mad at a fella if he pulled the ball on the ground when he had time to pick it up. I really would, like, you know, because you're only hitting it straight to an opposite defender. Like, you know, it's easy possession. Like, if you have time to pick up a ball on the pitch, you pick it up. And
so it's dead, though, right? It doesn't. Yeah. Like, I can't remember the last time I've seen it at the intercounty level.
When you seen the ruck there yesterday evolved, and it was there for literally 30 or 40 seconds, everyone trying to raise it, and then the ball spilled out small. Richie Lang, great pull.
Yeah,
now he got lucky and got straight to Walter Ersing over the bar. But if he didn't take an opportunity and just get rid of it, everyone would have been there for another 20 seconds and the ball would have been thrown in again, like, you know. So there is a time and a place for, like, you know what I mean, it's coming across as maybe a sign of weakness or something, pulling on the ball because you're trying to get rid of it as quickly as possible, but there is a time and a place for it.
What's the benefit of it? It's like, it's obviously as early a ball as you'll get,
quickest ball you get in, like, you know. If you do get a bit, it's just, it takes your accuracy away from it. You're trying to hit as good as connection you can on it, but when you miss hit a ground ball, it looks terrible. It could only go 5 yards and go straight to the lad you're marking to, like, he stops it. And it's when it's on the ground, it's few players can stop it, like, you know. When it's up in the air, at least it'll go over the half back line or something like that, but when it's on the ground, anyone can stop it and then you're caught.
And so has the statsmen, like, you know, when you come in after a game on a Tuesday, if yours is anything like ours, with Leash, they'd be up in the dressing room and all lads would be over checking them out, and you might have a chat about yours with the manager or whatever. Have these stats ruined ground hurling, that lads are afraid to say, well, you gave that away, or you, like, are, over the course of your careers, I'm sure you've seen it kind of reduce over the years to almost nothing at the end. Like, I mean, have the message from managers been clear about it, or did it just kind of happen with players kind of adjusting to, right, I don't want to give away possession?
No, I think it's as players evolved. Like, my career, I think I hit the ball on the ground about 20 times in my whole career, and they'd only be for someone 10 yards away and I'm flicking it to them. I know they're there. You see nervous lads, you know, and they can't pick up the ball and the first thing they do is pull it in, you know. And I think as you get a bit more composure in your career, you pick the ball up and look for someone. It's much easier to pick and hand pass it than hit a ball on the ground, because you might miss hit it and you can't go over a player because he's going to be in the way. And I think it was just more a thing done in the past where lads were pulling out left, right and centre, and it wasn't much of a game plan.
Yeah.
So I think as the game's evolved, lads are picking the ball up a lot more.
Yeah, right. I think everyone's obsessed with possession stats and everything like that as well. So, and if you were pulling 2 or 3 balls and one works out, the other two, you'd probably be criticised for the two that didn't work out, you know what I mean? So a lot of people want to get in their hand and run with the ball and keep possession and 10, 15 yard passes rather than let fly in the ground and hope for the best, really, more than that's what's happening.
But I'm saying, like, it wouldn't be a message from Cody or Dalo to say, lads, I don't want anyone pulling stupid underground. You wouldn't hear that, would you?
Not? No.
All right, so it's just players more or less themselves going, this isn't really working.
Yeah.
That's interesting then, you know. That's a I would have thought this was a kind of a maybe a direction from the management to not do it, but
we would practice a lot now on ground striking, just running the ball and letting fly and keeping the ball moving as quickly as possible.
Really?
In training as well, like, yeah, we would, yeah.
You'll always do in training, we would have as well, but you don't use it
too
well.
Alright, so it's just one of these generic drills to keep the eye in on the ground, just in case you need it, but nobody wants to.
you probably don't
really want to receive one, do you? Because is it coming too fast along, and you know when it comes up, maybe it's not, maybe I'm talking, would you prefer to bounce or to come straight into your hand?
Yeah, you would, definitely. It's always a bit easier for the high ball, but I think when the Wicklow lads got a score from a bouncing ball there from 40 yards there, seen yesterday, it's a great score, but again, if you hadn't put it away, you'd be murdered, you know, so it was a great score though.
Okay, right, well listen, quickly before we move on into talking about the games, Brian Cody was on giving out about the structure last night. We all know this structure has been there, but like, I mean, when I suppose when Brian Cody says it, it kind of highlights it, you know, and he's right. He's like, so the Joe McDonagh champions will go into the Leinster Championship and someone like Offaly, don't want to disrespect Offaly, but the bookies would have them favourites to be the one to go down. So they'll go down into the Joe McDonagh next year. But if the bottom team in Munster, if Kerry win the Joe McDonagh, they have a playoff against the bottom team in Munster. So like, for example, say if it's Limerick or say if it's Clare, whoever it is, probably won't go down because it'd be Kerry. So they've never a chance of leaving the Munster Championship, but Offaly, it's okay for them to leave it. Mm-hmm. Now, you wonder how to come up with two different rules for two different championships.
It's Munster hurling, Willie. That's what it is.
The magic
of Munster hurling. But no, look, it doesn't really make sense. Should be one rule for one rule for the other. But I don't think they want to get rid of one of the top five teams in Munster, and it's good. Boils down to that. Boils down to revenue. Good matches, five good matches or four good matches for each intercounty team down in Munster as well. So they see Leinster as a small bit inferior province than Munster, and it comes down to that.
Brian Cody was very quick to kind of, you know, shoot that down. Like with Dublin yesterday, like, I mean, you know, if that was for example Cork and Kilkenny game, it would be blown up to be an unbelievable game, like where Dublin put it up to Kilkenny, but then people still don't see Dublin at that level.
No.
Now, probably because of the league, but we'll get into a bit about Dublin. But I personally agree with them not to relegate anyone from the Munster Championship, because even if Limerick, for argument's sake, went into Joe McDonagh, sure, they'd only hammer their way through that anyways. I don't think any Leinster team should be relegated either. I think if you're making Kerry playoff against them team, why can't Leash or Westmeath play off against Offaly, and that seems that fair rather than the relegation be the thing to do, which doesn't seem right in Munster. Well, then leave it the same, and if Leash or Westmeath are good enough to beat Offaly and get in, then they're good enough. And as it is, the Joe McDonagh champions and finalists get to play the third place teams anyway, so they get their big game in the sun anyways. You know, and I'm a Leash man saying this, hoping, like, even though I don't see Leash doing much in the Joe McDonagh this year. But I definitely take the point. You can't have one rule for Leinster and another for Munster.
It's farcical. Like, it's the powers to be in GAA are saying it's okay. They probably expect Dublin or Offaly to go down. It's okay for one of them counties to go down, but no one in Munster. I think it's an absolute joke. Like, you know, the powers to, like, Offaly and Dublin are huge hurling counties. Like, Offaly has the history there. But it will also set them teams back for years, will you? Like, if you spend a year in the Joe McDonagh Cup, you have to come back up. The likelihood is you're going straight back down the following year because you haven't played the top teams in over a year in Championship.
Yeah.
So
they'll argue that the other counties need to play the good teams or they won't develop.
I think that they'll have to look at it after. I know it's a new system. The lads are love playing games, but either you're going to have to add a few teams to Leinster and make it a big two groups, or they're going to have to come up with something
it's the easy option because Offaly have fall into the level that they're at.
Absolutely.
You know, and Leash have beat them recently, and Westmeath have beaten them recently. So it's probably made that decision that little bit easier for them.
Yeah, well, I think they were probably hoping that Offaly were still going to slide, but this year they're after coming on and they're after coming back there again and they're putting a bit of pride back in Offaly hurling again. Sure, they were just hoping that they'll just fall away. Offaly will fall away nicely there and this will all work out and Offaly will be back down to their level, but they're not at that level at the moment. And you see, they were competitive last Saturday night as well, and they're going playing Kilkenny next Sunday as well, so it's going to be a good battle again, like, you know. So you can't say that one team, they pick one team to go down. That's what they're after doing.
Like, if Dublin had a pip to Kilkenny yesterday, right, and then Kilkenny are looking to say Galway, lose to Galway, and then Like,
oh,
imagine having Offaly and Kilkenny in the last game saying Kilkenny might be playing John McDonagh Cup. Like, that would throw a spanner in the works.
It wouldn't happen.
You'd obviously, you would hate to see it, but you'd almost, in a bad way, love to see it, to see the GAA going,
we're changing it for next year.
Saying it last year, didn't Cork get relegated 1 year, so they changed the whole thing around so they didn't get relegated? Limerick got screwed over on that one.
Yeah, they did.
They were stranded in 1B forevermore until. Right, listen, lads, we've gone over time there. We'll come back and we'll take a look at the game.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you brought that up now, because there's no such thing as a media ban. We don't have a media ban.
Ah, you do?
No, we don't.
Let Shamey talk at a Hurley launch one day.
Yeah, but hold on a second now. He was at a Hurley launch, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
there's a media ban if he can't talk at that.
Absolutely not. I think you guys need to do your job. Don't depend on us guys for quotes, you know.
Okay.
Earn your living like the rest of us.
But if he's at a media day and he says to the media that I'm not allowed to talk, then he's obviously on a ban.
Well, I think he's carrying a mixed message.
So all we had to do was see the Dublin team, lads, to pretty much figure out the Dublin game plan. Like, I mean, they kind of gave it away playing Owen O'Donnell in midfield. Like, I mean, you knew immediately, like, he's going back to mark someone. Like, Ian probably would have flagged that it was TJ Reid. I was just like, he's just going to go back somewhere and Sean Moore's going to be free man. That was obvious and that's what it was. So, like, I mean, it was the right thing to do. And little did we know that Owen O'Donnell would pick up TJ. And TJ's had some issues with man markers. You know, he did against Wexford have some issues. So, like, I mean, that worked like a treat for Dublin.
It couldn't have worked any better. Like, Owen O'Donnell, I remember the first year he joined us, he's a freak of an athlete. Like, we had all the testing for a day and he was winning everything, you know, speed test, jump test, dynamic. And he does it without trying too hard.
He's just a natural.
Yeah, exactly. And he's so strong for a young lad. So he was the ideal man, and he's hurling really well. His hurling's come on something else. So he was the ideal man to put on TJ, and he did some job on him. Like, you just didn't see TJ from play at all yesterday. And I thought the whole half back line dominated Kilkenny, especially aerial wise. Like, you never see it. Like, Crummy and Shane Barrett just caught ball after ball, and they didn't really have the answers. And then you have Sean Moran, who's played that position for Coola all year. He just knows, and he was brilliant in that position yesterday. He just plays in front of the D, in front of the back line. He's not really there as a support man for the half back line. He's there just to stop the ball going in. He doesn't really charge out after, like, but his use and the distribution of the ball is something serious as well. So, huge plus for Dublin.
It must be really difficult, because we saw Austin Gleeson get marked out of it at centre forward when they move up a corner back on him and, you know, to have a plan for him. Like, for a centre forward like TJ, who often can drift and maybe not be picked up because the centre back stays back, being man marked must be a huge culture shock. Because, like, I mean, isn't it Breen from Wexford caused them trouble a couple of times?
Yeah, he did last year.
I mean, maybe this is the plan now for TJ, to put a corner back on him and play, you know, play an extra defender and let your centre back be free then.
Yeah, it'll all depend on the defender as well, on their mentality going out. Is he told to go out and hit the ball, or is he just told to stop TJ from hitting the ball?
I often wonder in soccer why Messi isn't man marked, and they often say, oh well, when he comes into his own we'll mark. Man mark that man.
I mean, you wouldn't fancy that job either.
TJ Reid, I would be like, I don't want you hurling, because that's the problem, is because when you like to hurl, then you lose track of him because he wants you to hurl a bit of ball. But, like, I mean, yeah, if you, because TJ is so important for Kilkenny, just, I don't want you to hurl at all, you know.
But as a defender, you want to hurl as well. Like, you
well,
know,
that's it. That's,
you want to go on a bit of ball and hit the ball there as well as much as you can, especially if you're breaking even with TJ and you're kind of saying, geez, right, if I hit a couple of balls here now, I'll be really good, you know, kind of way. So you'd be happy enough there as well. But yeah, it's something he's going to have to come across. But I think the pitch now and everything that kind of suited the kind of man market option. If you're in Croke Park or a bigger field like that, Semple Stadium, it's very, very hard to go toe to toe with a guy like TJ as well, because it's just too much open space. And if the guys can go up the field and pick out TJ as well, which wasn't happening from Kilkenny half back line, because Dublin were physically hitting him hard, knocking him back. Every Kilkenny lad would take one step forward, and Dublin lad two or three would hit him back. And they physically dominated the Kilkenny half back line as well, like, you know, and they weren't getting the ball then 20 or 30 yard passes to 20 or 30 yard passes to TJ as well, so he couldn't get in the game that way as well. So there was relying on Owen Murphy to hit long balls in top of TJ, but again Owen O'Donnell was happy enough to break it because he knew Sean Moore was behind him, like, so he had the whole tactic worked to a treat.
And it's not often you see Kilkenny being physically dominated like that. Like, that's what Kilkenny do to teams. Absolutely. Like, I mean, Dublin are a big physical team.
I thought they threw them around the place. Like, even O'Donnell at one stage threw TJ on the ground and caught a high ball. And it just, like, they had the belief there. That's why it was so, like, with 10 minutes to go, I didn't see where the answers were going to come from Kilkenny, because they just weren't winning the ball anywhere around the pitch. But I just think it was Dublin's mentality. They took the foot off and tried to defend that 5-point lead rather than push on And again, that's what they'll have to work on for next week. They have to believe that they can win for the whole game. I've been there. It's very hard when you're 5 points up against a team like Kilkenny. Not to say, right, let's defend, don't let them get a goal, but they just kept chipping away, you know.
But like, I mean, like, it was Keeney going off, because Keeney went off, and the knock on effect of Keeney going off was Rush went out to centre forward. Ryan O'Dwyer,
he was lost there,
but yeah, like, he was. But then there was Rush not out around, like, I mean, the whole shape was lost, because it didn't look like, you know, nothing was sticking. And then the Kilkenny half backline took over then, and they won every puck out, and it was just wave after wave.
Keeney and Buckley started to clean up, like, he was so working on Mark and Connell that he couldn't get into the game, and Connell was got 4 points in play. But then once he went off, it was like the shackles were released. He was coming out with great ball and finding men, and also Paul Murphy came on with back.
He
cleared a mountain of ball, you know, and you could see, like, he won dirty ball and came out with a composed and handled it off. And once they got the lead there in the half forward line, I think Ryan came on and just didn't know whether he was marking or he was going free, or I think he should have just pushed up on Killian Buckley and kept him out of the game.
It was Buckley that came into it.
Buckley came into it, but again, that's what Mick was saying. Paul Murphy had a brilliant game when he came on there as well. He came on Danny Sutcliffe as well, just to curtail him and curtail his influence really more than that. And he cleared a lot of ball, but he cleared it very, very cleverly as well. It was kind of cross field ball. All the ball 10 minutes before Paul came on was all down Sean Moore's throat, straight down the middle all the time. But when Paul got it, when he got an opportunity to look up, he was hitting it over to Colin Finley over the other side, and Colin was winning it and scoring a couple of points there as well. So he used the ball very well when he was on the field there as well, which the other lads weren't doing, you know. And then Killian Buckley came into it, because he's seen Paul, so he wouldn't have to worry about that wing, because Paul was looking after that wing, so he could just worry about the centre back line and the other wing back there as well, so he can just kind of sweep there, and that kind of area more than anything. So he came into his own there the last 10 minutes as well.
Yeah. And were you surprised at how Dublin were able to dominate aerially? Like, Keown went off at half time, Crummy was cleaning up, like, and Moran's good. Like, I mean, that wouldn't have been predicted, that Kilkenny would be dominated like that.
No, but they were very, very strong in the air as well, like, in fairness to them. And what was doing, the ball was sticking up in the full forward line there as well. Liam Rush was winning a mountain of ball up there as well, and Connell was, like, they had their homework done on the spine of Kilkenny team. Like, Pádraig Welsh wasn't in the game, Killian Buckley wasn't in the game for the last 10 minutes. TJ was only one that was stood up and around the spine, it was Walter. Yeah, and he was showing true leadership again all out through the game, you know. So they had their homework done, in fairness to them, you know, but they were strong in both sections. But when the ball was on the ground as well, Dublin weren't found wanting either. They were in there with twos or threes and were hitting hard. And for the young guys, the likes of Mossy Keona and these guys, Enda Morrissey, they'll know what championship hurling is all about. You're kind of wondering, asking, what's the difference between league and championship? You've seen it there on Sunday as well, like, you know, on Sunday.
The league is a challenge match compared to that.
It is, yeah.
Isn't it? Like, it just the league final, everything.
Yeah. And you think you're ready, and you'll always say, yeah, I'm ready for the championship, until you get hit left, right and centre in the first 10 or 15 minutes of your championship, first championship game. And then you're okay, now I know what it's all about, you know.
And
what I mean,
you're gasping for breath, and your chest is hurting.
And the ball
is
louder than ever.
There's a part of you go, I don't want any part of this. There is, that's not being weak mentally, but there's championship games I've been in going,
I know, absolutely.
It's crazy stuff. There's no comparison.
No comparison whatsoever.
Especially, maybe did Kilkenny read too much into the league then? Because 7 debutants in Parnell Park against Dublin. Now, we on the podcast last week, me, Cheddar, and Damien, we didn't go along with the idea that Kilkenny were gimmies at all. Cheddar and me thought Dublin had a great chance of a surprise. Yeah. Damien was more on the Kilkenny will win it. But, did Kilkenny think in their heads, I know they'll say all the right things, but 7 debutants against Dublin, did the league potentially seep into Dublin's league? I mean,
maybe it did, but the thing about this championship as well, it is a squad based championship now. For the next 3 or 4 weeks, it's going to be, and these guys, whoever plays next weekend, there'll be a few lads being took off, and then a few lads will be brought on again. Like the Mossy Keown, if he doesn't start next Sunday, he'll be brought on again now with 10, 15 minutes to go. But he'll know exactly what to expect next week, and then the Morris will know exactly what to expect next week as well, because Dublin hit them physically very, very hard now, and they're going to have to expect that level again. And if that level does come, oh well and good, they'll be able to deal with it. But if it doesn't come, they'll hurl an easier game there as well. Yeah. So that's the level they're going to have to expect to being hit from now on. You know,
that was Dublin's best team all year. They hadn't got Sean Moran or Jake Malone playing all year. They hadn't the cooler lads there.
Where was Jake? Oh, Jake Malone is the cooler lad as well.
So he started on the wing and came into midfield. Yeah. You know, and go back on TJ. So, but the only thing is now, they know what's going on. Like, Davey would have watched that. So Dublin aren't that unknown quantity that Kilkenny didn't really know what they were stepping into. Hadn't seen that team play before. Davey will have his homework done. He'll watch that game again and again and see where Sean's playing. And like, if there's anyone who can do tactics, Davey on top of that. Like, so it's going to be interesting next week. It's going to be a lot tougher for Dublin.
But was there whispers around Dublin that this team was ready for Kilkenny?
Yeah,
or was
absolutely.
There was?
They played three challenge matches recently, and I heard Lemus was flying full forward, like just winning balls left, and he's been so direct. And he's been brutal all year.
He's been injured, no?
He's in and out of injury, but he's come on in league games and not touched the ball, and he's come on full forward. But I heard him recently for the last month. They've played three games, played Hurl really well, and he's flying full forward. And it showed yesterday. Yeah. So they were going in definitely thinking they could win yesterday, and it showed. Like, showed the way they played.
Even their fitness alone was absolutely immense. Even physically developed and strong, and look, upper body now, we were very, very strong, and they were going to the last minute there as well. So what they were doing in the league, they were obviously training very, very hard within the league, and they didn't take it too serious, and they were, had this date in their mind now from day one, you know.
But fitness wise, we speak about it, like, Kilkenny finish stronger, you know. Like, you don't really speak about Kilkenny's fitness too often.
That was momentum rather than fitness, maybe, wasn't it? That
I don't
was
know,
more
kind of a snatch and grab,
it was on. Did you see Gilroy shouting at the end? Because
push
obviously
up
push up.
That's what I said.
And they didn't push up, and
like,
they gave Kilkenny that handy puck out at the end.
Absolutely,
that was a weird one, wasn't it? When you were chasing the game like
that's
that,
what I was screaming at them, like, you know, just get, like, do what you're doing the whole game. Like, again, they're young lads. Like, Dublin have quite a young team as well, and McConnell gone as the leader in the forward line, who would have been saying, "Let's get up on our main."
Right.
You know, lads sort of drop back and let's do the safe thing. You think to defend them?
Yeah. Hey, like, just to be fair, like, for the last, what was it, 4 minutes of injury time, and maybe 3 or 4 minutes of the normal time, Dublin were all over the place. Now I know. Kilkenny were, but Dublin, I don't know, is it that they had so many subs on, and there was seemed to be number 20 to 26 running around, and nobody seemed to
shape
know.
Went out the window.
Gone. Just they were scrambled, and Kilkenny really had them then at that stage, didn't they? Like, I mean.
Last week, even for Owen Murphy's last puck out, he done the hard thing. He went short. You know what I mean? At that time of the game, you're only a pint or two up, get a lump it down the field of what normally would have happened. But he picked Pádraig Welsh, and Pádraig Welsh picked Killian Buckley, and then he hit it up along the line now more than anything, because it's just game management really more than anything. And Walter got an unbelievable pint from the sideline again. He scores them all from the sideline. In front of the goal, then you wouldn't back him, but from the sideline, then he scores every single one of them.
He's a different player this year, Walter Walsh. Like, I mean, even his pint in the first half, where he backed around, like, he's just he's a monster of a man now. Like, he's a leader. Like, he's the main man there. Well, like, TJ's the main man, but like, he's just, you don't think he's going to miss those pressurised ones, don't you? Not you kind of, he's gotten to that level.
See, a man marker's going to have to pick up TJ or Walter, and so it's normally going to be TJ in the half hard line. So Walter's going to be on a full back, and he has to beat the most full backs in the country, you know. And like, I know we had to come quite deep yesterday to win
balls. He was drifting, and was
he had
O'Callaghan
to, because Sean Warren was up front as well, you know. Keane O'Callaghan was, and Keane's a great hurler. He did follow him, but like, he's so physically bigger than Keane. Like, Keane's a really good hurler, but any high ball is he's going to throw him around the place. And then he has the strength to run through and score as well. So he's going to be a handful all year. Like, he's definitely the leader up there for him.
So Dublin pushed up aggressively on all the Kilkenny puckouts, right? So like, how did they manage to do that? Was Moran pushed up out of his sweeper position, and like, who was he picking up?
Moran was right in front of Keane in the full back line,
right?
And he just his way across that full back line. So Kilkenny, as you said, were trying to go, like, they were coming down the middle with so many balls, and he was just intercepting them, like. So he's really good at playing. He's a great eye for the hurling, like, you know. So his positioning sense on the pitch is excellent. Like, not many players, I've seen some players play sweeper over the years, and they're shocking.
He's
not aware to stand, but he's really good at it. He has that position nailed. So
What do you put their shooting down to? Because they did 8 wides in the first half and dropped 2 into the goalkeeper's hands. Kilkenny just had 6 wides all day. Like, when you put it down to it, like, how did Kilkenny, like, is this what has to be one of Kilkenny's greatest ever wins, JJ? Like, I mean, is that over the top? But like, this was, some people say the round robin is not championship. This was bloody championship. Like, this was Kilkenny winning a game that realistically they had no right to win at all.
Especially the first league, you need a win under your belt as well. And whoever won that game now, probably, if Kilkenny didn't win that game, they'd been under pressure to finish second or third, you know, kind of way. So it's huge psychological boost for Kilkenny to get through the line. But, and it's a great sign, as Brian did say, that the players were disappointed with their own performance. Sometimes a win like that can mask what you have to play like, but they were poor on the day, but they did get a result. Like, you know, it's the old saying that you play bad but you still get a result, which is a great thing for Kilkenny going forward. But I think Brian will be beating with that stick now all week this week, saying that, look, that performance wasn't good enough, we got out of jail, but we have to up it now again completely, because because if we don't do this, we're going to be out of this championship fairly quick, you know.
And isn't it crazy the difference that a few players can make a team with Dublin? So, like, I mean, a lot of people would have said there were no hopers, but this was no hopers without their full back, without their centre back. And these are two cool lads who are winners.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have Jake Malone, who's a good utility fella.
Yeah.
And then you have Liam Rush, who you build a whole game plan around Liam. So, like, I mean, Dublin had nothing to play with, like, really, with Liam Rush injured and these lads not around. And if you were to throw Conor Callan, Mark Shute and these lads on, like, Dublin, obviously you're not going to get Conor Callaghan, but you should be trying to get the two Shute brothers back in there. And suddenly Dublin have gone from the last year going like Dublin are slipping to like, geez, Dublin have the makings of a really good championship team here.
Absolutely, a great side. Like, I think, I'm not sure where Mark is. Paul ripped his hamstring off the bone, so I know he would have been out for a few weeks anyway.
Paul Shute.
He might have been back in the running, but Mark definitely, like, he'd be a huge asset to playing corner forward.
Why doesn't he want to play? Because he's not with the footballers.
I don't know. I had heard he was opting for the footballers, but he's not there, so I don't know what he's doing. I don't know if he just wants a break. And the freeze were huge yesterday as well, Willie, with Paul Ryan. Like,
that was a terrible one he missed. He put it into the wall, like soccer.
He actually underhit. He's the best free taker in Dublin. He's a fantastic free taker.
So is, like, that concentration then?
I don't know if it was nerves, there's some atmosphere in Parnell Park. I don't know if what got to him, but I've never seen him miss one hit ball, never mind two.
Right.
And then he hit one from 45 yards wide as well. Like, it's just, there were three crucial scores. And Kenny, from 15 place balls, 15 scores.
Yeah, like, TJ was. And even Ron Murphy as well. Like,
Four points
from distance, like,
you never really see that 15 out of 15, like, it's very seldom, you know. And then that's a huge swinging point.
Yeah,
like, just this phrase.
Just going back to Dublin now, it's a huge game for Dublin next weekend. Absolutely huge. Like, the moral victory is probably no good to Dublin anymore. You know, I mean, they should have won it 100%. They should have won it there on Sunday, but they didn't. So Sunday, what kind of performance, or what kind of team that goes out, mentality? Like, they were there, they done everything right, but didn't get across the line. But next Sunday now, have to park that now and look forward to Wexford now and take them head on, because if they don't, it's going to be a waste of a year, and you're going to be fighting with Offaly then for what we spoke about earlier on, you know. So I can't underestimate how big this game is now on Sunday with Dublin Wexford.
And Connell will be huge, like, he's a huge deuce. Yeah. So I hope they don't put Liam Rush centre forward and take him out of football, because he caused carnage in there, like, and he won't be near as dangerous centre forward, so they'll need a big physical man to play centre forward, but it's going to be tough to pick from the panel.
It is. Brendan Cummins said last night on the Sunday game, he says that he fancied Dublin to beat Wexford because they have a game under their belt. I've heard that analysis before, but it hasn't been a week after a demoralising loss like that. Like, I mean, there's no momentum with Dublin now. This is heartbreak to get over.
Absolutely.
Their leader, Conal Keeney, could be out.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think this is a dreadful kind of game for them to go away to Wexford Park next week, you know. Like, I mean, I do understand analysis and you'll have a game under your belt, but I don't think it applies in this situation. JJ,
it's going to be tricky, but it'll depend what mentality they have going down there on Sunday. Are they hurting? I hope they are hurting now after yesterday, because, and the only way you can rectify that is next Sunday, because you can feel sorry for yourself, we should have won this, we should have won that, but that's no good now. The game is gone, you have to park that game and move on. So it all depends on mentality.
It's hard for them because no teams have had to park it within a week before, you know. Like, I mean, this is unusual for GA teams, because you lose a league game, but let's be honest, you're not going home crying to your missus about that.
I think it's better, Willie, because you've no time to wallow. Straight in, you can rectify it a week later, and if they beat Wexford, the talk's done then, you know. Like, it's parked. I think voice and dressing room would be dying for the game next week, saying, like, we've only a week to wait to rectify this and get our heads together.
You could put too much onus on the result.
Absolutely.
You're betting the result, that's fair enough.
Performance was excellent.
Performance is unbelievable. Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, it's all depending on what way they look at it, you know. So they have to look at the positive. They can't look at the negatives anymore. They could have won it but didn't, move on. But the performance, to put themselves in a situation to go win it. And next week, if they're in that situation, 5 minutes to go, don't hold back, push forward. That's the only way they can take from this.
They'd nearly be better off get them in tonight for a video session and focus on the positives and get this negative stuff out of their heads.
If I was Pat, I'd be getting them in straight away and just saying, like, he's performed excellently. Like, learn from the last 10 minutes, you retreated, didn't believe in yourself, have that next week. Like, you know, you have the individuals to beat Wexford, definitely. Like, the team is good enough to beat Wexford, so go out there and show them next week.
That's going to be a great game now. Jeez, Dublin have really kind of whet the appetite for this Leinster League.
They really
have now after that performance. Move on to Galway, lads, because we didn't see this game, we only saw highlights. But Galway, the eye turning thing is Galway have scored 5 goals in one game. They scored 2 in the whole championship. Now, awfully play orthodox, so maybe, like, do you read into this that Galway are deliberately going for goals now, or are they looking for score difference, or was it because Offaly didn't protect their goals enough?
Yeah, I know Kevin Martin once said he wants to play a free-flowing game, but you have to have the personnel to do that. I definitely think he should have dropped someone back and protected the goal a bit better. Like, when you watch them from 40 yards in, there was so much space in the goalway forward line, and they should have had another four goals. The goalkeeper was excellent for Offaly. Like, Charlie, some saves he had. So again, the mentality of what Galway over previous years, I've probably seen them taking points when they were 40 yards out. They're going for goal all the time. I don't know if it's just because it was Offaly, or is that a new mentality this year where we're going to get goals?
Yeah.
And then Concannon's a new lad in there, and he got two goals from play yesterday. So
yeah.
Well, it's different scores for the goals there as well. Like, you know, fair enough, if one lad got three goals, he was obviously earmarked, you get the ball, you go for the goal. But they had a widespread of goal scorers there as well, so they were all happy enough and all confident to go for the goal there as well. Like.
But there's no point saying they've the best forward line out there. It's almost like every forward is a marquee forward. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, often you have lads that are supporting actors, but you could make a strong argument that every single one of them is in a way their most important. Like, Joe Cooney was back in the mix yesterday. Yeah. He got 1-4, and he's a monster from puckouts and everything. Like, and you could say he's the best in his position in the country. Every player, like, Joe could have had three goals. I think the goalkeeper had it in for Joe because he was saving his ones and penalties.
Conor Whelan was immense as well.
He was back. Now, I think he mixed the good with the bad reading match reports. Yeah. But, like, I mean, when he's on song, like, this lad's magical.
Well, he scored. He should have got another two goals, and then he ran at the defence about three times and caused goals from it. Like, he was just immense. He's some athlete, like, you know. So he's been off the boil the last few times I watched him. Like, he's a bit hit and miss. But if he plays like that now, yesterday, he was unbelievable. And so hard to stop.
Yeah, a new tactic, well, I don't think it's new, but maybe you've seen it, was they spoke about this on the Sunday game. And so Dublin or Galway are dropping their two midfielders back into their half back line for the puckouts. Now, how they're kind of sorting this out is that the two midfielders that they're abandoning the two midfielders, but the half back line's dropping half and half, and the full back line is coming back and dropping half and half. So they're kind of having all these extra men.
Yeah.
They're sticking their hurls up in the air to kind of make the goalkeeper think that, right, this isn't on. And the goalkeeper's going long, and then the two midfielders there to it makes sense now, but surely the movement would be good enough that the goalkeeper can, if you know what I mean. You can't have it that not that easy to have
I think
now.
A top class midfielder would expose it. Like, you can't give a good midfielder 10 yards. Like, they were
abandoning
getting out,
them.
They were getting out yesterday, and they were just getting the hurl on the block. Like, I think a good midfielder would be scoring them all day. Like, so I think if Offaly had a bit of a stronger midfield, they could have exposed that yesterday. I haven't seen that before. I was only watching it myself last night, but I definitely wouldn't leave a good midfield partnership out 10-15 yards free.
No,
you picked them out all day.
Yeah, it's a new one. Like, it depends on whether
once the opposition keeper looks out the field, all he sees is Galway jerseys
and hurls.
That's all. So he's just blocking everyone out, so he's going to stop the kind of low trajectory. So if you hit it high, it's hanging in the air, it'll give the chance for the midfielders to get out on top of the midfielders.
Exactly.
That's what they're trying to do. And then if you're pinging it, say the hurls are up in the air, they're trying to stop it, you know.
Well, then it makes sense, right?
If you ping it, it's going to get there quicker,
right?
If you're hanging in the air,
then you just say, right, it's hanging. If it's hanging on them, we'll push up. If not, we're staying where we are. Yeah, I suppose that makes sense. So you can maybe take that chance, unless the Offaly goalkeeper's not known for his Donal Cusack type put, you know what I mean? That we'll take a chance here, so maybe that's right. Just quickly on Kevin Martin, he said after the game, we're trying to promote attacking hurling if we can. Maybe people might say we could have put a sweeper back in front of the full back line there for a while and maybe cut out the Galway forwards cutting through, but you know, I'm a positive man and I want positive hurling, and I want lads to stay positive and go forward with the ball when they can and work back when they have to. I want them to enjoy it too. What do you think of those comments, lads? And like, do you think he's right in doing that, or do you think, like, Galway were going to lose to, after we were going to lose to Galway yesterday, no matter what way they played, they scored 2-15, they went out, they got goals against Galway. Last year they played two sweepers and conceded, got hammered by Waterford and Galway with 33 points and 135. So, like, I mean, are you better off just to say, lads, go out and try and win your own battle, and let's not overcomplicate it, and let them, you know, potentially get a goal or two and go, well, we put it up to them for a while, or do you go, well, we conceded an awful lot of possession to them and we got beaten anyway?
I'd say he listened to the players when he came into the job. I'd say they wouldn't say they were happy with the way things were going last year in regarding two sweepers now and all that kind of stuff, and after a proud county as well, they think they can go toe-to-toe, and they wouldn't have any fear of Galway because to be right, very close, kind of on the border as well. But I'd say Kevin, in fairness, he sat down with the players at the start of the year and he decided, right, we're just going to go man for man there and we're going to enjoy the hurling again, because if you have a system in place and people are not buying into that particular system, they're not happy playing, and you can see a few lads walking off the panel. But he got a few lads back there this year. He obviously, he told them what way they're going to play, and in fairness, he's a man to his word if he did say that to him, and he is playing that way too, so why not have a go? Like,
well, that's it. So maybe he got the lads, a few lads back. Is it like Bergen and Dooley and these lads that he got them back on the promise that, look, you're going to get on loads of ball, we're going to play the three men inside, and you'll get a few scores, you know? Like I wouldn't say they're shallow enough to say getting a few scores would come bring them back in, because they're great servants, but the idea that they're going to play more orthodox, so then he has to stick by his guns, or like or else the players
last
won't
year, like, look at, if you look at Dooley and Bergen, they would have had to play four man forward line on six backs. It's impossible, and what enjoyment would there be there? But I don't agree with just going out and playing free for all in hurling if you can't. If you're going out and being beaten by 20 points, but it's okay, we attacked all the time, I wouldn't like to play in that team. I don't want to be out on a team being beaten by 20 points all the time.
See, there's a this is the thing. Like, we're talking about one extreme, two sweepers to no sweepers. Like, what's wrong with what Dublin did? Like, there's nothing wrong with the style of Dublin's play. Absolutely. Dublin played a lovely brand of football, of hurling. Yeah. But had a little bit of caution at the back as well.
Well, like, you have to have, as JD said, a man for the ball to stick up there. So, like, Rushy has a great hand. He'll take out two defenders. That's the sweeper gone for Kilkenny. Like, so, like, straight away, there's two defenders on him. So the lads still have their freedom and rest of the line, forward line. Like, Bergen is the type of player.
He's a big man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He could go up there, and if you're hitting high balls in and you've Shea and Dooley sweeping off him, like, there's still, that's a really dangerous little forward line. I definitely go with that tactic rather than just saying we go out, all out attacking, like, because, again, it could come down to score difference as well. Like if Dublin, if Offaly managed to beat Dublin, like, Dublin lost out by 2 points yesterday. Like, what did Offaly?
12.
It's a huge turnaround, you know, like, just to say you're going to play attacking hurling all year.
But then come next week, no, he could play a sweeper.
That's what I'm talking about.
We just don't know, you know.
Would you believe this, lads? The bookies had the handicap at 12 in the Galway Offaly game, and a late goal got it onto 12. Isn't it unreal how to get it right? Like, I mean, this happens so many times. It's incredible. But anyways, I don't want to start giving out about that. We'll be back with performance at the weekend.
Yeah, we do. We have a farm back home, so we have a big farm back home, and we have cattle and sheep, and we have a few donkeys as well. So we had a couple of filly donkeys. So I brought them down, and so we actually sold them to. I think I had four donkeys on the day, and we sold them to a man from Wexford. So we did. So there's the piebald donkey still there, and there's the traditional donkey, and there's the Spanish donkey, and then there's the
Spanish donkey.
You see them on the beaches, never. And so you can actually one time the donkey was useless, right? But now some people have started to get back into them, because you can use them for headage, and it's used towards your bonuses, your grants. A donkey eat a pallet.
First three performers of the weekend, lads, are goalkeepers. So we've got the Offaly goalkeeper, Owen Cal, we've got the Dublin goalkeeper, Alan Nolan, and we've the Kilkenny goalkeeper, Owen Murphy. So who's the one goalkeeper we're leaving out? Oh, Skehel, sorry, you're shamed. Sorry about that, you're the odd one out. But, like, I mean, we'll start with Owen Cal, because, like, I mean, he was sensational.
Yeah, geez, like, he was a hero for Offaly. He made the difference between five goals going in, and there were point-blank saves as well, like, and a penalty save. So he was outstanding yesterday. There was nothing else he could do for the other goals. Like, he can only do so much.
Joe Cannon once said, he just took a shot, you stopped, and he just hit the whole lot of ground. He said, what more can I do to give this man? He just wasn't going to get a goal against him. That was it.
Yeah, well, that's excellent. So
that's great. And I thought the Alan Nolan save was unbelievable.
It was fantastic, was that with his foot?
It was. Like, I seen online last night a few people saying it was a look, but, like, his reactions are ridiculous. Yeah. You know,
well, there's an element of luck to that.
Absolutely. But
then he moved his foot there towards the ball. He hit the bottom of his foot, but he was on the ground first, and then he went and moved it towards it. You know what I mean?
He's tiny, he's a low centre of gravity. He should have went higher than
Well, I'm glad you said he's tiny, because that ball he caught with Walter that was unreal, lads.
He did well to keep it over the lane as well now.
He did very well.
Walter trying to kick his hand over the lane there as well.
Walter kind of, I say it was sore, because I don't think Walter meant to do it. Kind of half stood in his arm.
He had a word with Walter stomach, he did.
But like Alan Nolan to catch that, like he must be good in the air, because
he's
like,
excellent in the air. Yeah, he's really, really good, and he's full of confidence, you know. So I'll be his best man now in October. I'll never hear the end of that catch.
Jesus, like, I mean, that, I'd say, like, so he'll be bragging away about this.
Oh,
this,
he never does stop. He's a typical goalkeeper, like, just their melts, aren't they? Like,
so is this because he doesn't, he'd be a confident sort of fella?
And confrontational. Like, he'd be non stop talking to the whole forward line.
Is that why you took it so hard when Cunningham dropped him? Like, because he actually went public saying that this was like, I know Cunningham handled that very badly, but that must have been a huge shock to someone if they've got that much confidence.
Yeah, and Al's a straight talker as well, and he worked so hard. He was number two for 8 years, like, and trying to get in, eventually do, then you're just dismissed, you know, like, right, he's sick, you know. But he's brilliant, he's been number one all year, and he'll be there for a few more years. He just loves hurling, like, yeah, you know? Yeah, he'd hurl on the 50 if he could.
No, that was outstanding, to like number one, to keep your eye on it that much when a man, like, there must have been a huge shadow coming up. Walter,
he said he's black and blue over his shoulder down because he think he got the stud on, you know.
To even fall then and have the instinct that this ball's not going over, even though it was a foul, like, but he's still, this ain't going over, that showed an awful lot of kind of battle in him. Owen Murphy, I'll give to you, JJ, because, like, I mean, we all, like, I don't think there's much more we can say about him. He's almost like an outfield player playing goals, really.
He's a fantastic striker of the ball. Even see the freeze he took, but he has length, but he has accuracy there as well, which a lot of people probably don't have. You know, they'll always have the distance to get it to where the goal is, but it mightn't get the accuracy to it. But even with the wind or against the wind, didn't really make any difference to him. But he's very, very comfortable on the ball. When the ball goes into him, you know, he hurls outfield for his club, Glenmore, as well, and you know that he can take tackle and he can go left and right then as well. He's more comfortable on the right or the left either. He doesn't have a favourite side, you know, so he's a phenomenal player. Like,
he was. Liam Rush, he got man of the match, surely, did he not?
Oh, Crummy
got man of the match, right? Well, it had to be between the two of them because, like, I mean, Rush made the three goals or had a strong hand in the three goals. He threw the ball out for a good few points as well. He took Padraig Walsh on loads of times and just went past him like he wasn't there, pushed him away. Like, I mean, what a monster of a player. Honest to God, when he's in that form, like, JJ, I can't imagine. Like, I'm sure you've marked Rush before.
Marked him a couple of times.
And was he that aggressive?
He wasn't that aggressive, no, but very surprised with the aggression there yesterday quick he was, really, more than anything, because usually if you're a big strong man, if you bottle him up, then he wouldn't be able to go any further. But a lot of power in his legs, and he got past once he broke the tackle the first time, he just went straight for the goal, like, you know. And once he gathers momentum, he gathers speed, and it's very, very hard to stop there as well.
So what was the difference yesterday then from when you would have marked him? Was it a supply of ball? Aggression number one. Two things, but the ball was hitting him was lovely, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, and he was showing out to the wings there as well, and obviously they're working this game plan as well. So any long ball was going to go in his area, and he was going to obviously dominate it in the air as much as he could, and I said take out the sweeper, Farkle in there as well. So that was their game plan, and worked with he.
And even taking on the sweepers, like the instruction Mick was to, when you get it, I don't want you throwing it out straight away. Go at him, take on your man, and then take those two lads to you, then turn around and throw
absolutely
it out.
He's adapted his game as well. Like, in years past, he would have caught it and handed it back straight away. Like,
right.
I think he had to look at his own game because he struggled at centre back for the last 2 years. People weren't hitting the ball down on him.
Yeah.
Now it's coming down on him. It's up to him, and he looks like he's really relishing it.
Yeah.
I have heard he's been brilliant for the last month, so he looks like he's going to be dangerous.
That's very smart, though, lads, isn't it? Because we haven't seen that before, to have a big lad. Like, they're lucky to have him, but it was a clear instruction when you get it,
go.
Take him on.
Absolutely.
Because, like, I mean, usually a forward wouldn't take his man on that regular basis. But this is, because Gilroy's clever. This was obviously take him on and draw two. That's their extra man gone, and then throw it out. Like,
give
that's
the scorer. Because Rushy wouldn't be that prolific in front of goal himself, but if he's taking two men with him and you can just hand it off, it'd be a dream to play a corner forward beside him.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially with Paul Ryan as well, he made the runs around him. He didn't go towards him, he went into space more than that. He wasn't going to help him.
So
he knew exactly what was going to happen.
Yeah. Have to say, Conal, after being a regular on this show for 2 years, I was absolutely delighted for him yesterday. He was absolutely unbelievable. Like, what age is Conal?
35.
To retire and come back and be able to put in that performance.
Chance it, will you, buddy?
Jeez, you can add another five on for me now. That's me long gone. But, like, I mean, but Conal is just like, Conal's one of these natural athletes. Like, I mean, he's just came back at saying to that Dublin setup, and lads that were there all last year were looking at him going, like, this man is in serious shape altogether.
He's played every minute of the league and championship. It's not as if they're resting him at all. Like, I think he's just loving playing. And even in club championship there in April, he was brilliant. Like, you're watching him playing two games, and he was Ballyboden's best player by a mile. And he's shown the same sort of form at Dublin. Like, he was a real leader up there yesterday, and even the composure he had for the scores, just like it was in his hand and gone every time, like, you know. So, and I'd say he was loving playing with Rushy behind him as well, because he was just winning dirty ball and popping it back out.
Yeah, and that's kind of Connell's experience timing. And cleverness of waiting for that. And we saw him picking back up the hurl and getting on after Rush, because he could see Rush was going to turn around at some stage. And Buckley couldn't handle his cleverness, could he? Did it expose a bit of a weakness in Buckley's centre half back play, JJ?
I don't know really. It's just Connell was so physically strong in the tackle as well. Anytime Killian got the ball, he usually break out past players, past his marker, but Connell saw, he just made himself so big and he kind of bottled him back, and then there was two or three Dublin lads in on top of Buckley straight away. So I wouldn't say he exposed him, but he hurled very, very well.
He gave him all he wanted of it, basically.
Yeah, he hurled to his strengths, and look, he got the better of it.
He still tackles like a footballer as well.
Yeah,
he has hands. He's always done it, you know, he'll hit you as hard as he can when he gets a chance.
There was a lot of hard hitting. We'll mention Chris Crummy then as well, because like, I mean, he's a big leader on the Dublin team, and like, I mean, he was outstanding.
He was immense yesterday.
Yeah.
Jeez, like any high ball that went his way was hit, like, and there were difficult catches. When you watch him in slow motion, like, he was getting a wrap of a hurl every time, and he was still like winning ball after ball. And it impressed me then his use of the ball. That's when he's fallen down over the last while. His use of the ball after winning it was excellent, and he's always popping up with a score to him now as well. So he's the captain, and he's showing leadership on the pitch as well all the time now. So he's definitely a future star for Dublin all the time. Like, he's years ahead of him.
What age is Crummy?
Crummy be about 26.
Okay.
So like, but he's worked. He's been sober a long, long time. Like, he was there waiting to get into the half back line a long time, and now it's paying dividends. You know, like, so.
Right. So like, I mean, you'd almost feel for Keown, and he's only a young fella, and wing forward in Parnell Park isn't the best position because it's so tight. So you're not getting that space that he wants, and you're marking Crummy, who's great in the air. Like, and you know,
Dublin were pushing up, so Owen Murphy had to go along with the puck outs as well. Like, so it was kind of playing into Dublin's hands really more than anything. You know?
Yeah, and 6'4" as well. Like, big man, like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so that's interesting. With just the two then, Conor Whelan and Joe Cooney were the two. Obviously didn't see this game. Joe Cooney's back with 1-4, and Galway need him dominating on those puck outs, and they need that half forward line back into the mix.
Yeah, he's huge semi-final and final form last year there as well. So I think he's one of their go-to guys, most consistent guys out there in the half 40 in there for Galway as well. So yeah, once he's actually very deceptively quick there as well. He's brilliant in the air, but when he takes lads on, he leaves lads for dust as well. Like, and he's very, very accurate too. Like, so I think he'll get actually better again now this year, to be honest with you. You know.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Well, the performance of the weekend goes to, because as you know, lads, I pick it. You can give your opinions on it, but it's down to my decision because it's my show. It's Liam Rush, lads. He was a monster.
I'll give it a call.
She's actually Connell.
That's terrible.
Yeah. She's never thought of it.
Turn your back.
Thanks
on
now.
Yeah.
Connell Keeney. Can we give a joint one? Can we give a joint one? I was taken aback by Liam Rush though. Like, I was more sitting like a proud father about Connell, but I was looking at Liam like going, whoa, what the hell, this lad's an absolute. He was almost like a under 21 playing under 16. I've said that before. He was just like
throwing lads
around like a big bully of a player. Like,
Wait, where Comer is with Galway, like, he played that sort of very quickly,
just straight, and he's light on his feet, like Comer for a big man as
and
well.
There's not many full forwards around like that now, so it's going to be interesting, like, to watch him against Wexford and see what they deploy on him.
Definitely Ryan would be a great battle.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be worse.
Yeah.
The match alone.
And I'd say it's great for him because, like, I mean, last year we all slagged him off for the ankle socks. Yeah. Like that, like, he was embarrassed by that, and it was for blisters in the end. But, like, I mean,
he just bottled it. He should have owned it.
Alright, so he saw the backlash and went,
exactly,
oh, this.
Yeah, like, I would have been like, no way. Sure. He loves it. The white boots, and like, he definitely thinks he's a fashionista. Like,
so now we're breaking this down. He fooled me by thinking, by telling me about it. I took that offense.
That was just him wearing them socks, you know.
Because he went with ankle socks, like, not just sports socks. Like, I've worn sports socks, but to go with an ankle was taken at junior level. And then you're right; he should have stuck by his principles.
Like, you know.
Yeah. Well, listen. Maybe he has enough confidence built up in the bank after yesterday.
Yeah, we come back out with him next week.
Down in the sunny southeast next Saturday, whenever it is, Saturday, Sunday. Right. Well, we're going to give it to Conal Keeney because, listen, we'll want him back at some stage in this podcast. And that was, and I hope he gets well soon because we're not sure what it was. Was it his shoulder, his elbow, or his ribs? Or we're not sure.
Like a shoulder,
because he was reaching for it, and you often see shoulder injuries, so I'd imagine shoulder injury is like practically the worst injury for hurler, because you obviously need the movement for the swing, you need it to catch, and you need it for
the worst time of year to happen, like, you know what I mean?
Disaster.
Three or four games in a row, like,
and three or four games in a row, so he could realistically after his comeback year play one, maybe the game of one of the games of his life because he's had lots of good games, and then missed the next three, which would have been an absolute heartbreak and stuff after coming back. Right, so well done, Conal, and we might talk to you during the summer at some stage because you must still listen. Right, we'll be back on Thursday with a preview show. Good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop, and when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going, so I opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through, but it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know, and it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken. I let it go, cause I won't see you later, and we're not allowed to talk it out.